Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Amber Enterprises India Limited conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Jasbir Singh, Chairman and CEO, Amber Enterprises India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello and good morning, everyone. Wishing all a very happy Diwali and a prosperous New Year ahead. On the call, I'm joined by Mr. Daljit Singh, Managing Director, Mr. Sudhir Goyal, CFO, Mr. Sanjay Arora, CEO, Electronics Division, Mr. Sachin Gupta, CEO, RAC and CAC Division, and our SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. We have uploaded our result presentation on the exchanges, and I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. Room air conditioner industry witnessed a dull period of July 22 to mid-September 22 due to B star rating change with effect from 1st July 2022 and unprecedented and untimely rains in the month of August, September and September 22. Secondary sales didn't pick up to the desired levels due to above two factors. However, as industry is now at normalized inventory levels, we expect good growth in quarter 3 and quarter 4 FY23. Other divisions such as mobility, motors and electronics witnessed a decent growth due to additional new customers, products and geographies. Coming to the performance of Amber Group, the RAC and components division witnessed a revenue growth of 99% in H1 FY23. Clock revenue of rupees 1797 crore versus rupees 902 crore in H1 FY22 and currently contributes 70% to the total revenue. Similarly, motor, electronics and mobility divisions are growing at a good pace and have been a significant contributor to the revenue growth. RAC and components, motors, electronics and mobility division now contributes 70%, 5%, 17% and 8% respectively to the total revenue. Our standalone revenues saw a decline this quarter owing to rampant channel destocking on account of the change in B star ratings. Other expenses rose on a standalone basis on account of forex loss of rupees 7.5 crore and fixed overheads due to operationalization of new brownfield and greenfield facilities, which will come to normalized levels by next financial year. On the capex front, we intend to incur a total capex of rupees 600 crore for the year FY23. Our new greenfield facility, Sri City facility, will be operational by Q3 FY23. Moving on to the divisional performance. First, RAC and components division. This division saw a revenue growth of 85% over H1 FY22 and RAC clocked a revenue of rupees 1213 crores in H1 FY23 versus rupees 654 crores in H1 FY22. Components division is growing at a faster pace and grew at 136% in H1 FY22 over H1 FY23, revenue stood at rupees 585 crore versus rupees 248 crores. The growth is primarily fueled by a strong order book, new customer addition and expansion in newer geographies like Chennai and Pantnagar areas. The ROC for this division stood at 9% for H1 FY23. Regarding motors division, for H1 FY23, motor division grew 71% to rupees 130 crores versus 76 crore in H1 FY22. Operating EBITDA stood at 11.5% for H1 FY23 versus 9.2% in H1 FY22. ROC for the division improved dramatically to 20% from 11% in H1 FY22. We have shifted to a new larger facility in Faridabad to cater the future growth within this division. Received BLDC approvals from few customers and few are in process right now and is expected to be received in coming quarters. On the exports front, approval from export customers are in process and expect to receive large orders in FY24. The strong order book with new product addition and geographical expansion gives us visibility of more than 30% growth for FY23. Coming to electronics division, which includes Iljin and Ever, revenue for the division for H1 FY23 was rupees 449 crores, representing a growth of 129% over H1 FY22. Operating EBITDA stood at 3.8% versus 2.6%. ROC for H1 FY23 was 19% versus 10% in H1 FY22. We have successfully scaled up our supplies to BOAT as a customer for new age applications like smart wearable and hearables, which has opened a huge opportunity for this division. Segment is expected to grow further as we have added few large customers and have accordingly expanded our capacity down south. Supplies to BOAT has opened a large sectoral opportunity and expect this division to grow at a faster pace. Regarding mobility application division, which includes Sidwal, revenue of the division grew by 65% in H1 FY23 to rupees 200 crores versus 121 crores in H1 FY22. Operating EBITDA stood at 25.5% versus 24% in H1 FY22. ROC improved significantly to 51% from 44%. Increased impetus on infrastructure development and comfortable journey is providing a large opportunity for growth in this division. Apart from HVAC solution, we are exploring new applications to increase our share of business in the existing customers as well as by adding new customers. Our order book for this division stands at rupees 650 crores as of now. I will now take you through the consolidated financial highlights. On the revenue side, for H1 FY23, revenue stood at rupees 2,576 crore versus 1,295 crores in H1 FY22, marking a growth of 99%. For the quarter Q2 FY23, revenue stood at rupees 750 crores versus rupees 587 crores in quarter 2 FY22, a growth of 28%. On operating EBITDA side, for H1 FY23, operating EBITDA stood at rupees 182 crores versus rupees 88 crores in H1 FY22, a growth of 106%. For quarter 2 FY23, operating EBITDA stood at rupees 52 crores versus rupees 39 crores in quarter 2 FY22. Operating EBITDA margins for H1 FY23 and quarter 2 FY23 stood at 7.1% and 6.9% respectively. Quarter 2 FY23 and quarter 2 FY22 operating EBITDA is before the impact of ESOP expense and other non-operating income and expenses. On finance cost, for quarter 2 FY23, there was an increase in finance cost to rupees 24 crore as compared to rupees 6 crores in quarter 2 FY22. The increase in finance cost is largely due to the capex incurred during the period and increased interest rates. This has resulted in a PAT loss of rupees 2 crores in quarter 2 FY23. Net interest costs of H1 FY23 is actually rupees 25 crores against gross interest cost of rupees 45 crore, as we have an interest income of rupees 20 crores in H1 FY23. On PAT levels, PAT for H1 FY23 was rupees 41 crore versus rupees 19 crore in H1 FY22. ROC for H1 FY23 improved to 12%, whereas the net working capital days drastically dropped to 39 days for September 23 from 93 days in September 22. Despite all the external challenges, we at Amber remained committed to creating synergies through our strategic collaborations. Driven by an industry experience of 3 decades and robust capabilities, we continue to explore better opportunities with an intent to expand beyond our current geographical presence. I now hand over for the Q&A session. That's all from my side.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take the first question from the line of Sonali Salgaonkar from Jefferies India. Please go ahead.
Hi, Jaspir and team. Thank you for the opportunity and wishing you all a very happy Diwali. So my first question is regarding the current demand environment. What are the initial feelers that you are getting starting in October and the festive season? And you did mention that inventory is at a normalized level. But, I mean, are you seeing a normalized level across the SKUs in air conditioners or a particular name or a mass premium segment?
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. We have the line for management connected. Ms. Salgaonkar, may we request you to please repeat your question?
Yes, sure. Hi, Jaspir and team. My first question is regarding the demand scenario currently. So getting into October, what are the initial feelers that you are getting about the festive demand and also the inventory levels currently in the channels?
Yeah, good morning. Demand, what we are seeing is there's a lot of optimism our customers' side looking at the forthcoming season, and a couple of customers are, they are planning to gear up for the inventories for the forthcoming season in Q3. And Q4, everybody is expecting a good summer. So in anticipation of that, demand scenario for Q3 is much better than what it was in Q2. As far as the inventory levels are concerned, the industry is not sitting at any large inventory levels. It's a very normalized inventory level. We saw sluggishness in July because this is the first time that BE table got revised in the middle of the year. Normally it gets revised by 1st of January. And what happens is that, the retail sector, they start picking up the goods in anticipation of selling them in February and March. But whereas for July season, it went opposite because we were entering into a leaner period. So there was no uptake, on the secondary side, basically. But that got corrected, but then there was some disruption in quarter two because of unprecedented and untimely rains, especially in the north area. But now everything is back to normal. Order book is getting stronger, and we look forward for a good quarter three and much better quarter four.
Understood. So do you foresee any impact of this BEE revision in Q3 as well in terms of a bit of destocking left?
I think a very slight impact would be there in case it is there. But largely now markets have digested the kind of increase or the shift in the star rating. So I think now what we talk today is we are talking on the normalized level.
Right. So, and would you like to update us on the price revisions that you have taken in air conditioners, say, because of this new BEE rating? And do you think that will positively impact the margins, or do you think it will be neutral on the margins?
There are two impacts basically. One is, as explained earlier also, that we pass on our prices on a quarterly lag basis, largely on the commodity side. That has been done successfully. You will see the difference in quarter four for that. As far as the BEE table impact is concerned, a couple of customers, they actually changed the complete model lineup from January itself. There is no impact in those customers. The customers who changed it in July, for them, the change has happened already. There's a gap of almost about 800-1,200 rupees per AC, which has been taken and adapted. And so have we done in our models.
Right. So you're saying the average price hike is ₹800 to ₹1,200 per AC?
Yes. I mean, it'll vary from model to model, but on an average, that is the range.
Understood. So my last question is, in terms of the PLIs, any update you would like to share on the progress in the PLIs, and when do you foresee for us to start getting the incentive? And also an ancillary question, what do you plan to do with the PLI incentive? In the sense, do you plan to share a majority part of that back with the brand owner, or do you intend to keep that with you?
So for PLI, the update is that we've got approval regarding our PLI application a couple of quarters back. We were in fact the first one to submit our application and get the approval for that. So threshold of investments are moving on track, which is the first parameter of getting approved as eligibility criteria is concerned. We are also moving very much on track as far as the sales, incremental sales is concerned. So this year will be the first year of demonstrating the incremental sale, and next year, basically, we will get the PLI benefit for this year from Government of India. So we are moving very much on track. There is no lag on the threshold of investment and the incremental sales.
Understood, sir. That's it from my side, and wish you and your team a very happy Diwali.
Thank you so much. Same to you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, the debt on the balance sheet has gone up despite a non-season and some correction in working capital too. So how do you see the debt repayment plan over next one and a half years playing out? And so secondly, the margin range of the company, EBITDA margin range, seems to have come down from the way the earlier EBITDA margin range used to be. So do you see the EBITDA margins moving structurally back to around 7-8% range, and by when? Yeah, thanks.
So, hi Anirudh. First, on the net debt level, which is at present 662 crores as on 30th September at console level. So, this is largely due to the seasonality in the business, as we have a larger credit period from the creditors, which gets paid during the off season. And the capex, which we have done during the H1 financial year 23. So this will get normalized by year end, because this is a cycle in which we are working on. And on the other side, on the margins in terms of percentage, so as we explained earlier, that we don't look at the margin in terms of percentage. Reason is that there are not many changes happen due to product mix, due to commodity price hike, and due to currency exchange rate change as well. So percentage margin is not the right criteria to see the profitability. So we also internally check on the absolute amount of EBITDA, how we are growing that on a year-on-year basis.
So basically, I mean, the point is the return ratios have gone below the, in a way, cost of capital now. So it's almost closer to 10% or less than 10%. So how do we see either the margin should improve or the overall acceptance should improve? So how do we see the basically the return ratios moving back to earlier 13-14% kind of a or higher than that range?
So we are expecting that ROC to be improved by 200 to 300 basis points in the current financial year by year end. And post that, further we are expecting that 200 to 300 basis points in the next year. And if you see the other divisions, they are performing well and those are contributing well, in a good way during the off-season as well, because there the seasonality is not that much, which is there in the RAC business.
Okay, sure, sir. So last question, what is the PLI benefit that the company is looking at for year FY23 and any indicative amount that you can also for FY24 also?
Yeah, so PLI benefit is the fixed amount. So first year, based on the incremental threshold, we will get 15 crore. And the next year, it is 30 crores.
Okay, sure, sir. Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Madhav Mada from Fidelity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good morning. Thank you so much for your time again. I just wanted to understand very basic question. You know, our profitability is seeing this one-off cost impacts from ESOP, loss of sale of fixed assets, Forex, M2M, etc. last, I think, two or three quarters. Firstly, the ESOP, when does this impact start going away? Like, is it just until FY23 or does this continue beyond that?
So, ESOP expenses, we have a, ESOP policy, as per ESOP policy, it will be amortized over 4 years of a period. So first year it is always a larger impact, and going forward it cut down to the very lower level, almost half of the first year in the next year. And since, as you know, that last year we announced the first ESOP scheme, and this year also we gave the ESOP for the further employees, down employees or further. So that is why this year there will be a larger impact. Going forward, it will be a very small impact. I mean, it will be cutting down to a half of the current level ESOP expenses.
So year one, the impact was about 16 crores, if I'm not wrong, if I have the number right. So you think this year it should be 8 crore, because you already have a 13 crore impact in first half, right? So, or is it a more rounded basis it should start coming down?
So this year, the total should be around 25, 26 year.
Okay.
And next year, it will come down to almost like, I don't have the exact number, but around 12, 13 crores.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Okay. And then also on the, I think you do give guidance for number of RAC units that we sell in the standalone business. Could you give any sort of target for FY23? And also, if you could give the number for Q2 as well, how many units have we sold?
Madhav, actually, you know, since we have started tracking on the value-based proposition, so volumes, you know, is we will not like to guide anything on the volume side. But what we will like to guide everybody is that on a value-based part of the complete industry, we will continue to maintain our market share of 26% and above. That is what we need to guide, and because, you know, this has become a very sensitive, volumes have become a very sensitive information to the company, because recently, in couple of months back, you know, all some of the customers, they started interacting us looking at the volume based proposition, and you know, that was not a good part. So we've started tracking the complete proposition on the value based, and now since this quarter also, you must have seen that components have outnumbered the RAC on the revenue side also. So it becomes very important for us to track on the value proposition.
Okay. So could you just give, I think for the motor division, you all have given the outlook in the PPT very clearly, which is 30% growth. Could you just give the guidance for the electronics, Sidwal and standalone, just what kind of group are we expecting? I think you usually give some guidance at each quarter about how we're looking at the year.
Yeah, so electronics, we can, you know, we would like to guide for about 35% growth. And Sidwal, we are about 20% growth story right now. And our order book is also catching up positively. On both the divisions, it's a good traction which we are seeing.
And what about the standalone components? That has been growing at a very good pace, like last many quarters. So anything on that front?
Yeah, components will grow more. I think our strategy is very clear that in the whole eco chain of the manufacturing footprint, we should be available, whether somebody wants air conditioner or somebody wants components, full kitty or half kitty, doesn't matter to us. So I think component side will grow faster than the industry.
Okay. And just last question was, any update on the exports? I think we're doing a lot of initiative on trying to get the approvals and get the models, etc., in place. So just where are we placed there?
So on exports, motors have started seeing positive traction, and that's what we mentioned also, that we are expecting some very good orders coming by next financial year. What happened was, because of the 2 years, people did not travel to India, and now recently, in last 3 months, we have been visited by our larger customers who we were interacting with earlier, and they have liked the facilities. The product approvals are under process. So once the reliability assessments are done, I think you will see the exports moving up from next year onwards on the motor front. As far as the finished goods are concerned, we are at level two, where some of the model lineup has been ready, and now the BE table approvals are going on in some of the geographies, which we expect to be cleared by next financial year. And then post that, we should expect some orders coming in.
So safe to assume some orders in FY25 or FY24 for finished goods?
Yeah, we should expect in FY25 on the finished goods side.
Okay, thank you.
And Madhav, on the ESOP, the next year will be around 17 crore.
17, and then FY25, it should go down even more, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Manoj Gori from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So my first question is on the pricing side. So obviously, BE ratings would have led to some impact on the overall costing. But on the other side, when we look at the RM prices have come off, so how do you expect the pricing to play out for the industry and for US specifically?
On the industry side, I think we had seen in last quarter, 4 quarters, there was an impact of almost about 15% on the finished goods side, which was resisted earlier by the retail, but then digested once the heat wave stuck in the peak of the summers. Then came the BE table revision, which was another impact by 800 to 1200 rupees. So that has also been taken. I think now that this is passed, now the commodities are easing off. It has not reached to the pre-COVID levels, but certainly there has been some easing off there. So we expect that since the current pricing has been digested by the retail segment, so customers and the industry will continue at this price level. And as far as Amber goes, our pricing strategy is very clear. We pass on any kind of commodity impacts on a quarterly lag basis, and that's what we have been doing very successfully, and it's reflected in the margin profile also.
Right, sir. So in this case, if you look at probably in the fourth quarter with the quarter lag, should we expect some margin improvement for us?
Yeah, I mean, on the component side, definitely we should see the margin improvement going on. Come on, yeah.
Right, sir. So if you look at for this year, already the season has been done. So when you are interacting for the next year, because you have already started with the initial round of discussion with the brands, so what's the overall outlook, like how volume should shape up next year, probably as compared to this year, and what are the expectations, if you can share?
Well, we are expecting, as per current run rate level, my personal opinion is that industry will cross or touch about 8.5 million units this year. And by next year, we should expect at least 12 to 15% CAGR on this volume.
Right, sir. So one last question is just on the accounting side. So probably I'm not sure how to read that. But on a standalone basis, when we look at the gross margins, there has been a significant improvement. Whereas EBITDA margins have been at normalized level, led by higher OPEX, and vice versa for the subsidiaries. So where the gross margins have declined significantly, but OpEx has come down and EBITDA margins, there is some impact, yeah. So anything to read over there?
So from the gross margin in standalone financials, those have got improved. The major reason is that because of the product mix change in the standalone business, in which the component segment has grown much bigger as compared to the RAC because of the lean season. And the commodity prices decline, which has happened in the quarter two, which has helped us to improve our gross margin during quarter two only on standalone basis.
No, but if you look at your other expenses, probably if you look at on YOY basis also, so like right from 8% of sales, it has increased to 13%.
Yeah, so it is, there are two major reasons. One is that there is a forex loss of 7.5 crores in the current quarter, which was almost negligible in the last year same quarter. And the fixed cost, which we have incurred in the new units or new facilities, which we started in the current financial year, but those are not operational at a full level because they are just studied and next year they will be going to a fully operational. So these are the two reasons because of which other expenses are on a higher side.
Right. So it's a normal business operation, right?
It's a normal business operation, right.
Yeah. Thanks a lot and wish you all a very happy Diwali.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Aditya Bhartia from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. So my first question is a continuation of the last participant's question on gross margins.
Mr. Bhartia, I'm sorry to interrupt. If you're in a speaker mode, can you switch to handset and speak? We can't hear you clearly, sir.
Is it better now?
Yeah, Aditya, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir.
Hi.
So on the gross margin side, this trend of higher proportion of components is something that we were seeing in the last two quarters as well. But the expansion in margins that we have seen in this quarter is actually quite sharp. So is there something else to that as well? Is it a case that commodity costs have started falling and the benefit of that we end up passing to customers with a lag? And therefore, by next quarter, by next two quarters, gross margins will again come back to the kind of trajectory that we have seen in the past? How should we look at that?
It's largely because of the product mix. You know, we have, you know that we have got a range of products which we offer to our clients. And, you know, it's very difficult to predict which customer will buy which component. But on a larger side, the traction is towards components. And in components, we enjoy a little better margins as compared to the finished goods. So if this trend continues, then certainly you will see better margins moving forward.
Sure. And that's our expectation, that the trend should be continuing. So in that context, what's the kind of sustainable gross margin kind of a level that you look at? Let's say if we remove some of the bottle components like compressors and just look at gross margin on the products that we are supplying.
Actually, you know, it's a very tricky question to answer because I'll just give you an example. Like, for example, if the gross margins are 20% right now on one component, but sometimes customer do ask us to give them a sub-assemblies by adding some bought out items into that. So that reduces our percentage margin because it's like a pass-through kind of thing. So in that case, the percentage will dip. So it's very difficult to predict, Aditya, on an overall basis how the trajectory will be. Because as a solution provider, we cannot say no to our customer if they require such kind of you know, solutions from us on a basically sub-assemblies part or adding any bought out items into the components which we are supplying. So that changes the equation on the percentages. But what we see is that how much Amber is contributing as a value proposition on the complete manufacturing footprint. I think that is very robust and that is where the fundamentals are. And we are moving very positively on both components and finished goods side. So probably if this continues, if there is no sub-assemblies, then yes, you know, we can see some margin improvement.
Understood, sir. And so my second question is on your comment on market share, wherein you said that market share should remain steady over the next couple of quarters at least. Now, there was a big import substitution benefit that you were anticipating, that roughly 2 million units get imported, of which 800,000 could potentially come to Amber. We haven't, from my understanding, seen that benefit play out as yet. So shouldn't that be leading to a significant improvement in market share over the next, let's say, 3 or 4 quarters?
Yeah, I think basically some of the customers, so what happened was the 2 million number was pre-COVID levels, and then the market fell down. You know, so that number also came down drastically on a pro rata basis. So industry has yet to demonstrate the pre-COVID levels. It touched 6.4 last year. So we did convert some of the customers from in the phase one into gas charging units, and now we've already converted them into manufacturing parts. But on the other side, there is a shift happening where some of the customers have decided to basically do the assembly on their own. So for them, it will be our component play, and for the customers who have shifted to us, it will be a finished goods play. So I think if the industry moves to 8.5 million number, that will be a good jump from 6.4 to 8.5, and we should outnumber the number by some part. So probably we should see some improvement in our share of business also, market share on the value proposition side.
But you would not anticipate a very, very sharp improvement panning out over the next 1.5 years?
See, what is happening is that some of the customers on the other side are shifting the strategies. So as we have seen in past 2 decades, some of the customers from outsourcing, they went insourcing, and then from insourcing, they went outsourcing. So this is a transition phase happening because of maybe PLI or maybe because of expansion in other area geographies. And what our strategy is that we mitigated this kind of a risk, whether in-source or outsource, or whether market share exchange between the brands, it should not impact us. So that we have seen these strategies and the market share exchanges in last 2 decades happening. Amber's proposition is very clear. We are a very integrated, comprehensive solution provider, both in terms of finished goods and in terms of components. Today, we can give you 69 to 70% of the bill of material in case you want components. And if you want finished goods, we can deliver you that also in any geography in India. So that's the strength which has. Now, if industry grows by that number, I think what we will see is that components are growing a little faster because we've added a couple of customers on the component side very recently due to PLI benefits and additions. So probably the structural will change, and that's why, Aditya, you must have observed that we have started observing our market share from a value point of view, which makes sense.
Understood, sir. And sir, a very small clarification. What's the nature of forex loss, and what's the kind of hedging that we do on our payables?
So on a quarter two only, we have a forex loss at a console level of 6.6 crores. And we have a hedging policy, and we are regularly doing our hedging largely through a forward only. And minimum 50 to 75% we always kept it hedged.
And this forex loss will be all MTM, or would there be normal forex loss involved as well?
So it's a mix of both, realized as well as unrealized. So I'll update you. I don't have the exact number out of this, but largely out of this 6.5 crores, largely it will be unrealized. 2 or 3 crores should be realized. But I'll give you the exact number later on.
Perfect. Thank you so much, sir. Wish you a very happy one.
Thank you, and same to you.
Thank you. My next question is from the line of Pulkit Patni from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking my question. So my first question is that you don't share the volume number, as well as you've been saying that now margin should not be looked at as a percentage number. But one should expect that EBITDA will grow at 25%. Now, obviously that EBITDA number has so many other things in terms of forex, in terms of fixed cost not being realized. Can you tell us what actual EBITDA numbers will grow at? Because that number seems to be pretty significantly lower than what, the guidance has been. So if you could tell us, because, some of these things will always be the case, right? Forex, I mean, in this country where rupee depreciates 4%, 3-4% every year, If you could just tell us what should we build in terms of normalized EBITDA growth, adjusting for some of these one-offs which seem to be repeating a lot more.
So, hi. I don't get your name.
Sir Pulkit.
Pulkit, yeah. So, Pulkit, I understand that you are saying that there are few things which are non-operating, but you want the actual EBITDA. That is also improving, but this is one year where we have seen such a big impact of the forex loss. And with this hedging policy and the costing which we are doing with the customer, we are expecting that this will not hit us more, and we will make it not impacting our EBITDA margins. Still, we are in a phase that this only barring current year where we already got this impact, we'll be maintaining our EBITDA margin as well with a CAGR of 25% to 30%, as well as PAT. So we are not guiding only at a EBITDA level, but also at a PAT level. So PAT is also growing at a CAGR of 25% to 30%.
Sure, sir. So we'll build that for a normalized growth. So my second question is, we are seeing what some of the brands are doing in terms of inducing competition, and that seems to be spreading across. Now, when a brand is not making as much margins as they were making maybe a couple of years back, it is natural for them to basically try to pass that on to, a services provider like you. In that context, is it fair to assume that margins, compared to what you were making 2 years back, that margins would be structurally under pressure?
Well, you see, brands have a very different, permutation and combination due to which their margins are under pressure, because there are more than 42 brands existing in the country, and the competitive intensity in the brands is very dynamic in nature. Earlier, there were no online players playing a big role, but now they have also started contributing significantly. And there's always a pressure to maintain the share of businesses or market shares at their level. What Amber's strategy is that, from a component built to a complete comprehensive solution provider, we generally operate at a very kind of a predetermined fixed cost basis. Beyond certain squeezing of the margins, we have taken positions where we have neglected some kind of or we've given away the businesses rather to go on that front. So but if you see the structure of Amber today, from last 4 years when we got listed, the structure has changed. We are no more a RAC play. So room air conditioner, of course, will go through its own dynamic, but still being a most underpenetrated product category will remain the very focus area, because we see a lot of growth opportunities in this sector, and we want to strengthen our position by giving more comprehensive and integrated solutions in different geographies in India in the room AC space. But however, we have been adding other businesses which is now contributing 30% to our console balance sheet, which are margin accretive and which are non-seasonal in nature. So overall, if you see, I think we will maintain our guidance of demonstrating that 25 to 30% range of EBITDA in absolute basis, and similarly in the PAT levels also. It's very difficult to assume how the brands will pass on the benefits. I mean, from our perspective, brands come under pressure due to many reasons. Some of the brands have in past we have seen. The new brands they come with a balance sheet of buying market shares, so they start subsidizing the products. But there is no point that Amber should subsidize its products on a pro rata basis. So we have to take our call accordingly, and we've done that in past. We'll do that in future also.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vineet Pasad from Investec. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I had just one question. I think I missed the CAPEX guidance number for this year.
This year, it's a high CAPEX year for us. We'll be doing 600 crore CAPEX this year. And next year, I mean, primarily because of our greenfield facilities and PLI commitments. But next year, it is definitely going to drastically come down.
So is it a case that we are preponing some of the CapEx which we were planning to do otherwise in FY24?
No, there's no preponement. Basically, the two greenfield facilities were very well planned earlier. Then in some of the subsidiaries are growing very fast, so there's a slight CapEx there also. And we continue to maintain our focus on the R&D activity. So in overall basis, maintenance of all maintainable CapEx for all 23 plants, plus the R&D, plus subsidiaries and the new greenfield facilities leading to this kind of CapEx.
Understood. 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 Thank you so much, sir, and wish you a happy Diwali.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dhananjay Bagrodia from ASK Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just wanted to understand now the new changes you've mentioned. So now we have 26% market share of the 12,160 crores of the room AC size, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And this 12,160 includes all components, CBU, everything as it includes all of the AC as a whole category. Is that correct?
This is room AC and room AC components put together.
Okay. So then the earlier volume market share. And so just to understand now, right now we would have good clarity in terms of how the remaining year would be. What would we see our growth, for example, for the next 6 months for room AC and room AC components?
So both the basically, I mean, that's why we've guided that we maintain this share of 26%+, moving forward. As the markets are moving from 6.4 to almost close to 8.5, we are moving in tandem to that, and the components are growing a little faster.
So would it be fair to assume that the components would be like 1.08, like around 1.10 times the room AC growth?
I mean, if you see in quarter two results also, the components have clocked a growth of 136% kind of thing. So, I mean, right now, very difficult to predict because customer have still to, come up and tell us whether they want sub-assemblies or finished goods or only the components. We don't know as yet, but I think from our perspective, what we are seeing clearly is that our market share will be very much intact, or perhaps we may grow a little in the market share.
Sure. And so you mentioned Sri City will open the operation Q3 FY24.
Please, pardon, can you repeat the question?
Sir, you mentioned Sri City will be operational by Q3 FY24?
Yes. It will be operational in Q3, end of Q3.
Okay, FY24.
FY23. So basically, right now the factory is ready, lines have been put up, and trials are going on. I think once we receive the customer approvals, the production will start. Mass production will start.
And so, just to understand, what could be the asset turns on this segment?
So asset turns generally in this segments are about 4. We'll begin with about 3, then we'll go to 4 and. Maximum on the assembly side, we can go as long as 7 to 8 also. So it will depend on what kind of businesses we are getting moving forward. But overall, on the asset side, we should expect somewhere about 4 to 5.
And so, what would be the capacity volume for this? Are we targeting for, let's say, the year end?
So, Sri City, we have installed heat exchangers, sheet metal, injection molding facilities, tubing components, and assembly lines for 1 million air conditioners.
Okay, sure. Thank you, sir. Best of luck.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Dhruv Jain from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I had a question with respect to your CapEx. So, last call you had mentioned that you will add 200 crores of CapEx if you get those customer approvals. So, now that you've increased the CapEx guidance, one is that, we will see some extended period of subdued EBITDA in the standalone business, like we saw in this quarter as capacities get absorbed. So that carries through FY24.
Sorry, your question is pertaining to what? I mean, you are asking about the CapEx guidance. Yes, we've revised our CapEx guidance after our confirmations from the customer. What's your question?
So, one is that, you know, we saw some unabsorbed losses of unutilized capacities in the standalone businesses this quarter. So, now that incremental CapEx of about 300 crores that you're doing in FY23, does that mean that your margins will remain subdued till the first quarter of FY24 in the standalone piece because you will take some time to ramp up capacities?
No, that's not the case. In fact, you know, the capacities which have been built up and which are getting added on the confirmations of our customers, that will be reflective from quarter four onwards. And the last one where we'll be putting up CapEx in this year will be reflective in quarter one of next financial year. And these are all good businesses for a long-term contract with the customers.
And sir, if for the 600 crores, can you just broadly give the split in terms of how much you're spending in ACs and the other components, you know, motors, electronics?
So almost the CCT capex is close to about 350 crores, which is primarily ACs. And remaining are all put together in subsidiaries as well as subsidiaries plus the maintenance capex and R&D capex.
Okay. And sir, you know, on the electronics piece, so we've seen a decent growth in this quarter on a YOY basis. So, but the margins have declined a little bit. So if you can just give us a sense on, you know, in the electronics piece, what is the AC part and what is the non-AC part and, you know, just a general broad outlook on that piece.
Well, it varies from quarter to quarter, actually. In quarter two, air conditioner contribution is very less because the complete industry went through a sluggish phase because of the table and some rains. So largely in quarter two, the revenue is, I would say, maybe just 20% of AC rather than and 80% will be non-RAC.
Okay, and sir, you know, over the last 3 or 4 years, we've seen that you've undertaken significant capex along with some acquisitions, right? And I mean, in the in some of the earlier participant questions, you said that you know your market share, you are likely to maintain your market share and increase by a little bit. But you know, considering the capex that you've done over the last 3 or 4 years, shouldn't we expect like a very strong FY24 or FY25? You know, just your broad thoughts on that.
Yeah, so we are also expecting, I mean, you know, this is in anticipation of industry growing around 15% CAGR and also our endeavor to get into non-RAC components also which are more margin accretive. So both the strategies are working on and we should see that number panning out in the reflective of margins as well as the balance sheet on the bottom line side.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much and wishing you a very happy Diwali.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Paras Nagda from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Jasir.
Hey, Paras, good morning.
Yeah, morning. Sir, I had two questions. One was on the gross debt. If I see your balance sheet, your gross debt has crossed close to 1,300 crores. I actually failed to understand how the net debt is at 665. What is the cash and cash equivalent plus the bank balance? So if you could, someone could reconcile that for me, please.
Yeah, so we have a cash balance in the like current account or the cash credit account, which we received on the last day, and plus investment in the FD and investment in the perpetual bonds of the bank, HDFC and SBI only. The total of these investment, including the cash balance, is 645 crores. So net debt is coming to 662 crores. And this is happening like why the gross debt is higher. Reason is that as per the RBI guidelines, we need to draw first 60% in the WCDL, which is a working capital demand loan, for a fixed tenure. It ranges from like 15 days to 3 months period. And we can't prepay it. So that is the reason that if we draw some WCDL, which is a low cost than the cash credit account, then whatever balance left with us or received during that period where we can't prepay the loan, we have to keep it in the largely in the FDs for a shorter tenure.
Yes. And is it fair to assume that this is going to be the peak debt for Envisite, or will the debt increase going ahead, net debt?
See, by year end, we are expecting that it will come down to a great extent, because this is a cycle of the business wherein in the off season we have a larger net debt, and by the year end we get a lower debt. And one of the main reason of the September quarter larger debt is the capex which we have done in the H1. And by year end we are expecting that this debt should come down by minimum 200 crores.
Got it. Okay. And my second question is, Jasbir, could you update us on the export potential and what is happening on the export side of the business, please?
I already did, Paras, but I don't mind repeating it. So on motor front, doing positive. Last year we did 29 crores worth of exports. This year we have a confirmed order of about 50 crores. And next year we are expecting a very large order. So I think we'll see somewhere about 70 to 80% jump from current year, next year in the motor business. As far as finished goods are concerned, as stated earlier, our strategy and our guidance have been mid to long-term strategy, because there are four milestones to achieve in finished goods. One is the product readiness for the geographies. Like in US, they don't use high-wall mounted splits. Then in European markets, they have complete heating and cooling solutions and of different structurally different products. So first milestone is to create those products. Second is to get the approval of BE on each country. Every country has a different BE norms and different BE tables. There is no standardization across the world which everybody follows. So even in, say, if you go to Middle East, all the MENA region countries have a different kind of a BE norm. Somebody follow different norms and somebody has a very, no one follows a standard one. So that's the second milestone. Third milestone is to have foot in the door. We as company and we as a nation have yet to prove, on the deliverability, on the cost competitiveness to our customer and on the quality side. Then fourth will be to increase the share of business. So in some geographies like US, we are at number two. We are at milestone number two. The products have been ready. They are under testing. The sample have been submitted to some prototyping is happening. And we expect that in by 2024 financial year, next financial year, we should be over by the BE table norms. So FY25 is when we are expecting some good, decent orders as a foot in the door kind of a thing to come in. And 26 should be where we should see some share of business increasing in the finished goods category.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Paris.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Jasbir Singh for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining the call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with the Strategic Growth Advisors, our IR advisors. And once again, wish you all a very, very happy Diwali and a prosperous New Year. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of Amber Enterprises India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.